folks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Welcome to another exciting episode.
Riveting. Enthralling.
So far, not. This is Pork Therapy.
Yes, this is Pork Therapy, and I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Mike.
And yes, we're here on the love seat once again.
The same and the original love seat.
Yes, the alpha and the omega. It will always be the love seat. That's the one thing that will stay consistent about our show, because the love seat is probably about 40 years old.
Actually, it won't stay consistent, because we've done shows from all kinds of love seats and love locations.
Yeah, but we always end up coming back.
Well, if this love seat ever burns down, we're screwed then. We have to stop the show.
We'll find some way to continue on, Mike. Anyway, how are you doing tonight, Mike?
Good.
What's up?
I'm just letting the facial hair grow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That must be really exciting. It's better than watching grass grow.
Depends on the type of grass.
Yeah. Have you heard about that grass that, like, flops over, like, you never have to mow it because it only grows, like, 2 inches or something?
Is this a joke?
No, it's true. It's...
No. What about the grass that flops over? Ba-dum-tsh.
Not funny. Yeah, that was kind of lame. I don't really know why I said that, but it's more exciting than talking about your beard, so
okay.
I think we're just going to move on from
Let's
that.
Let's move on.
Anyway, yes, thank you for joining us again on the Love Seat, and we're glad you're here. If you have a question for us, you can email it to us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or, and we prefer it, but as long as you're sending your questions, send them. But we'd prefer if you could also call it in at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
That's right, and... You know, like we always say, we were actually starting to wonder about whether or not our call-in line was working because no one was calling us. And that really
makes us look professional.
We're not that professional anyway. But seriously, though, this is a new show. And you know, we recently just instituted a call-in line. And, you know, we've made...
What is, by the way, your definition of new and recently?
At least
within this lifetime, yes. Astrologically speaking, this is incredibly new.
No, our show is but a baby. It's less than a year old.
Astronomically, sorry, not astrologically. That was
right.
Bad.
Yeah,
that was bad.
We don't want to. Mike, what's your zodiac sign? You should tell the women that
it's recently Scorpio.
When they go to ask you on a date, they can see if you're compatible.
Oh, lovely. You can look it up in the newspaper.
We'll save that for the end of the show. But no, I was saying, Mike, we recently put in this call-in line, but we were continuing to get questions by email, but no one was really calling. And so I was starting to wonder if our call-in line was broken.
And then suddenly
we got some messages. So we're glad to have been vindicated by that. Ooh. Thank you, listeners, for your wonderful participation in our show.
You'll be hearing those episododes coming up soon.
Yes, you will.
But
so that's a little
episode,
pimpage. We're pimping
our
upcoming shows.
An email.
Yes. This is an email, and it's just as good as a question as any. So,
it's from an anonymous hippopotamus.
That's right. The anonymous hippopotamus, who has done a great job of anonymizing him or herself. So, should we get right into the question?
Yes, we should. Okay. Well, right into the question. We should get right into the question
after
having wasted 4 minutes.
Oh, my God, it's been 4 minutes. I had no idea we were talking about grass flopping over and all this pointless... Crapola.
Yeah, let's just waste no time. Get straight to the meat of this.
Well, Mike, we have to warm our listeners up, don't you think?
That's right.
Nobody's going to want to listen to our show. They're going to think we're a bunch of stodgy, unfun jerks.
We should probably discuss getting straight to the meat of things for a while before getting to the meat of things.
Let's form a study committee and try to start to begin to plan to do it.
Discuss whether we should form a committee.
Yeah. No, that sounds too political. I don't like that idea. I really don't want that connotation. Anyway, okay, so here is our question. Mike, how do you want to settle this? Should I read it? Should you read it?
Here,
what do you think?
Let's flip a coin, heads or tails.
Heads.
It's heads.
Oh, great. Well, that was a very real coin. So I guess I'm going to be reading the question. Okay, so the anonymous hippopotamus writes, "Hi, I'm a long-time listener and I love the show."
Stop. Got to interrupt. Long-time listener. That's so cool.
Yes, that's so cool. I can't believe anybody's listening to us.
Let alone more than once or a long time.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Hippo.
This is very cool. Thank you for puffing up our egos, Mr.
Okay.
Hippo.
Okay, go on.
The hippo is very hip. Anyway, so they go on. As an anarchist living in New Hampshire for the Free State Project.
Oh, I got to interrupt again. That's
yes,
awesome.
Yes, that's right. That is awesome, too. What? You know, we've only been one or two sentences into this person's email. We don't know who they are, but we really like them already.
Yeah, I like that they listen to us. I like that they're anarchist. I like
that
they're
live
here
in New Hampshire for
the
Free
Liberty
State Project.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm done interrupting except for actual meaningful stuff.
It's, you know, as an aside, it's pretty cool when people have the guts to just straight up identify as anarchists. I think oftentimes it's technically
the guts?
Correct.
Yeah, this is one brave anonymous hippopotamus.
Okay, you're right, Mike. You're totally right. But I do like, I have to say, though, I like it when people who are anarchists actually call themselves that because, you know, there, as a serious issue, like, there are a lot of people who don't know what that word means. What do you think that most people think anarchist means?
Chaos and violence.
Yeah, bomb throwing, not property rights respecting, you know, doesn't care about anyone else, probably a young kid. That's what they think of, or vandalism. You know, those are things that people typically tend to think of when they hear anarchist.
And the appearance of like a 1980s punk.
Yeah, I guess that might be accurate too. But in reality, it doesn't really mean that. I mean,
no.
I guess the technical definition is
no ruler.
Anarchy, no rulers. And so a lot of people that I know that identify as anarchists don't, including Mike, don't believe in no rules. I mean, Mike has rules at his house, right? You have.
I believe in
rules.
Following...
I have house rules that I like my guests to follow and everything, and I'll happily follow other people's rules on their private property.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't believe that it's legitimate for other people to rule over us just because they are, you know, claim to be a part of the government or something like that. So,
for any reason.
And we do respect property rights. We're very respectful of those. We're we don't believe in chaos. We I think both of us have lives that if people were to look at us, they would say we have our stuff together, don't you think?
We're not... You more so than me, but yeah.
Well, I think you have your stuff together very well, Mike. And I'm not being facetious there, but anyway,
all right, now,
I like it when people try to bust up that stereotype by actually using the correct term.
Yeah. Although you don't know, maybe the anonymous hippo does throw Molotov cocktails at walls. Who knows?
I have a hard time picturing a hippo throwing a Molotov cocktail, but,
I don't know anyone in New Hampshire who does that,
but
I don't know
you...
anyone who does that.
Yes, me neither. Good point, Mike. But when you read this this person's question, you will realize that they do not fit that stereotypical definition of anarchist that you know.
And you'll hear this full question when I stop interrupting, and I'm stopped.
I think by when you said when you stop interrupting, I think you meant when Stephanie stops interrupting.
No. When I stop interrupting, because I interrupted this thing twice so far.
Yeah, well, I interrupted too. So,
okay.
Mike, we're.
Back to
Let's
the hippo.
Let's call a truce.
Yeah.
We're even. Okay, so the anarchistic hippo says, so as an anarchist living in New Hampshire for the Free State Project, I care deeply about liberty. Us too.
Yes.
And what's the Free State Project? Did we mention that?
And we're not going to now. Enough interruptions. We'll mention it later.
FreeStateProject.org if you want to find out.
There you go.
The little teaser. Okay, so the hippo says, I have noticed a troubling trend among many, perhaps majority of Free Staters I have met here in New Hampshire. Early movers to the FSP that I have met tend to be young and healthy, but I have noticed a great deal of self-destructive behavior, most predominantly tobacco smoking. Most prominently tobacco smoking. I'll avoid editorializing until we read the whole thing. How about that, Mike?
Me too.
Okay, so then the hippo goes on. However, this question could relate to all types of self-destructive behaviors that have specifically have long-term health consequences: obesity, smoking, drug abuse, uncontrolled medical conditions like high blood pressure, etc. I have no statistics to back up my observation, but it seems that the smoking rate among Free Staters is much higher than in the general population. As someone who loves liberty, I believe people have a right to do whatever they want with their body, including destroying it. Well, tell us how you really feel, hippo.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, we'll finish the question. However, I also care about people's health, and I feel that most people engaging in these behaviors have no sense of the long-term consequences. I have seen the devastating consequences of long-term cigarette smoking, most notably lung disease, emphysema, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is known as COPD, and cardiovascular disease, which result in very poor quality of life and a very high level of health care, which is very costly. I suspect that most smokers know that it is bad for them, but don't understand that it sets them up for heart attacks and severe lung disease requiring oxygen at home. After that painfully long introduction, here's my question. What will happen when young, otherwise healthy, liberty-minded smokers develop these diseases, which require very expensive health care? Most of these individuals don't have health savings set aside or health insurance, much less the long-term care insurance, which would be necessary to pay for their end-of-life care without using the government medical system. Is it cognitive dissonance which allows this, or do people just not think about the long-term consequences of their behaviors? I see this as problematic for individuals who wish to remain principled in terms of liberty, but will eventually require care which they cannot afford due to their self-inflicted illnesses. I predict many of these individuals will end up utilizing Medicare and/or Medicaid out of necessity, or will simply be unable to pay for their hospital bills, both of which run contrary to the principles of liberty. Perhaps you could have a guest on the show who is a smoker to explain their positions on this issue.
I'll light one up right now.
That'll be our special guest. Yeah. You have to change your voice, too.
I'll light one up right now.
Mike. Then the hippo finishes off. Thanks a lot for the show. Keep up the good work. The anonymous hippopotamus. All great right. question,
it
hippo.
It is a good question.
What an astute and observant hippo.
And he... And he did say, after a painfully long introduction...
Painfully
well,
long
please,
with three L's.
If you have listened to our Am I Gay episode, this is not painfully long. So I do want
hey,
to...
Hey, he didn't know that he was answering his own question
that's
five
true.
Times.
That's true. And the anonymous hippo didn't.
That's right.
Okay, so I want to address a couple assumptions the hippo makes before getting to the meat of his question.
Okay. So what is the hippo assuming?
He seems to be assuming that there is a higher... percentage of smokers amongst free staters than normal, and even though he admits not having statistics to back him up,
right.
I have not found that to be true, but I also have no statistics. I just find that the amount of people around me who smoke now that I'm here surrounded by liberty mm-hmm. is about the same as it was before.
Well, okay. I think you...
They're both anecdotal. His
view
anecdotal, and mine.
They're both anecdotal, but yeah, what percentage of the general population smokes cigarettes? Probably, I think it's something around 20 or 30%, isn't okay. it right? 20%?
Really?
I think so. Is that true?
I have no idea if that's true. I mean, I don't have statistics
to
back me up.
I know for some specific groups, like for instance, people who have schizophrenia, which is a mental illness... 90% of them smoke cigarettes because there's something about that disease that's correlated with cigarette smoking and like addiction in general. But we have our statistical researcher in the studio has pulled up some statistics smoking prevalence among U.S. adults. So overall population 20.8%. So we were pretty close on that.
You sure were.
But if you break it down by males and females, males are slightly more likely to smoke about 24% versus about 18% of females.
This is...
In 2007, yeah, in the U.S.
Data from 3 years ago, and the trend from 50 years ago seems to be drastically reducing.
And unfortunately, these are government statistics, yeah. So you have to kind of take them with a grain of salt. But anyway...
I had no idea it was that low. And so, again, my anecdotal experience is that I must have been around more people that smoke. Because... To me, now, I would guess that a much larger percentage of the Free Staters smoke. What would you say?
Oh, you've changed your tune.
No, I've changed my tune based on that number. Based okay. on my
well,
personal...
Well, yeah. If you think
my
about...
anecdote has not changed.
Yep.
From when the people I hung around with before and the people I hung around with now, about the same percentage smoke.
Maybe you're just friends with the anti-authoritarian,
smokers.
Rebellious smokers.
That could be the point that that the hippo's trying to make.
Yeah. So what do you think... So do you think that more than 20% of Free Staters smoke? Because I think that, too, just based on my own observations.
Yeah, I would totally, totally rough guess would be 50%.
Right.
Okay.
And we're talking about tobacco here. I mean,
oh, yeah,
specifically...
I'm not even, yes, I'm only talking about tobacco.
Right. But, I mean, of course, there are other behaviors that he mentions that he... or
right.
she, we don't know if it's he or she, but...
That's true.
The hippo mentions other behaviors such as obesity and... Drug abuse, he specifically says, and uncontrolled high blood pressure and stuff like that. So it could, refer to all kinds of
Yeah, but
he calls them self-destructive.
I was talking about smoking rate, and so was the hippo in that question.
Right. So another. So yeah, you think there is a higher rate of smoking?
Apparently,
and I would agree with that.
According to that statistic, we just looked the research department just looked up.
Uh huh.
Okay. Another assumption I feel the hippo makes is that free staters don't seem. Where is it? Free staters don't seem to have a sense of the long-term consequences. Maybe they do have a long-term sense and don't care, or think they're invulnerable because they're young, or etc. So that's just a weird way of saying it, in my opinion.
It's hard to guess at that, right? Because there probably are some people who are free staters and smoke and who know the consequences and don't care. There are probably some who smoke and don't know about the consequences. And maybe they would care, or maybe not if they knew, but right. They just don't know. And probably some who know about the consequences do worry about them, but can't
addicted.
Quit because they're addicted or they don't
right.
want to
so
or
his,
whatever.
His very minor assumption is, I would just have reworded it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what else do you think the assumptions? Because I want to jump into this, the meat of this question.
Oh, well, then let's just jump into the meat.
I'm picturing you like,
Jumping
off a diving
steak.
Board in a full pool of steaks, exactly. That would be pretty weird, Mike. I know you're famous for these strange examples, but that would be even stranger.
Jump in the meat.
Okay, and well, we will be jumping into the meat. So the meat of this question is, why do so many free staters smoke when it's so bad? They're going to end up on government health care. They're going to end up on welfare. What do we do about this?
Okay, well, I have to challenge that right there. That's the last assumption I was getting to.
Okay.
He says most of these individuals don't have health savings set aside or health insurance. How does he know that? Does he know the 1,000 free staters that have already moved here or live here, or 900 or however many there are?
Yep.
He knows all 900 or however many and that most of them? No,
I'm sure the hippo is basing it on anecdotal observations.
And he says, I don't know. I can't find the sentence right now, but he also makes the assumption that they're going to end up on state welfare or state, you know, funds of some sort. And that's certainly a possibility. In fact, I would actually have to side with, I've seen a lot of free staters do that. But
take welfare?
Yes. It's sad, and we'll talk about that.
Specifically for health issues or for just because they don't want to work or what?
Both. But I'll talk about that in a minute. But my point is, he's making the assumption that every free stater does or will.
Right.
And that's not the case.
Not necessarily,
okay.
Yeah. I have to say to this hippo, yes, there is a higher rate of smoking, I think, among free staters than in the general population. And yes, there is, some people have this attitude where they're either not aware of the consequences or they just don't care.
And my guess is most of them
Most of them know and don't care. Yes,
the vast majority.
With you.
I mean, it's hard, especially in this indoctrinated world, to become 20 or 30 years old and not have seen anti-smoking campaigns on billboards and TVs and in school and seen pictures of burnt up lungs, and it's just impossible not to know.
Yeah, and I mean, not just that, but I mean, I think there are people who know about those consequences because maybe they've had family members with emphysema or whatever, and they try to talk to their friends about it.
Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, for instance, I know that I've said things to people before, but only if they want my help. Like, that's I think, maybe a difference between myself and the hippo, because I'm not a smoker myself, a
Me
tobacco
neither.
Smoker. I don't smoke. But if I hear that someone is trying to quit smoking, I encourage them. And if they ask for my help in quitting, as one person did ask me once, I will help them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that I'll help them is trying to remind them of the consequences. For instance, I'm thinking of a guy who asked me to help him quit smoking. And I think he kind of asked me in a joking way, but I think he did it because he knows that either I don't smoke or he thinks I'm motivational or whatever. And what I said to him is that one thing many people don't know about smoking is that it damages the small blood vessels in your body. And so people hear that and they say, okay, well, that doesn't mean much to me.
Right.
Whatever, who cares? But
there's a lot of small blood vessels.
There are a lot of small blood vessels in the penis,
what?
Actually.
Really?
And smoking long-term can damage those blood vessels and lead to erectile dysfunction.
Wah, wah.
Yes. That would be very unfortunate if that happened to someone.
For a young male smoker to know.
That's one consequence of smoking that a lot of people don't know about. What another consequence of smoking that I think many free staters might care about is that tobacco cigarettes, unless you get them on the black market or somehow circumvent the taxes, are one of the most highly taxed items in the world. And I mean, yes, there's a lot of people who kind of try to circumvent the taxes and
especially
and
in the Liberty Movement. That's an ironic statement because
ironically,
it should be very important to a principled Liberty activist. At the same time, a lot of Liberty activists get their cigarettes on the black market.
Yeah. So, I mean, be aware that, but inevitably, even if someone tries to get their cigarettes on the black market so they can avoid paying taxes or paying higher prices or whatever, or they smoke e-cigarettes or something like that, inevitably there are going to be some times when they're stranded without their source or whatever because the black market's unreliable, right?
Yeah.
Or the gray market, you know, they buy them from other states to get around the taxes, or they buy them from other countries or whatever. That source may not always come through. And so inevitably they're going to be stuck paying that tax sometime and supporting something that they don't agree with, which is, you know, a huge government.
Okay. Well, I don't know about the word inevitably there, but they'll be addicted and maybe will not have the willpower to not buy a pack of heavily taxed cigarettes at some point in their smoking career. I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that happens more often than they like to think. But anyway, so I don't really remember what we were talking about before.
You were giving examples of how you would help someone, but not only if they solicit it.
Right. Yeah. The point of me saying that was that I've said this stuff against, you know, smoking to certain individuals, but only if they've asked for my help. And if they said to me, hey, you know, I really appreciate your help, but I'm just not ready to quit at this time. You know, thank you for your help, but buzz off. I would stop. I mean,
so
I don't want to.
Why are you mentioning or referring to the hippo? You think he's proselytizing or trying to, or?
I'm not sure about that because without knowing the hippo or knowing who he or she is, I don't know how. I'm just going to call it a he just for simplicity. I don't know how he acts.
It is. It's a hippopotamus.
It's a hippopotamus. That's right. Mr. Hippo. I don't know how Mr. Hippo acts in his real life. If he's going around to all of his free stater friends and saying,
Stop smoking.
What the hell are you doing? You're going to end up on welfare. What are you doing smoking that cigarette? Take and rips it out of their mouth and stomps it on the ground.
I don't get that impression because he's asking very politely and concernedly what to do.
Right. And I also assume that if he was going around doing that, he wouldn't have too many friends.
That's a good point.
It would all just tell him to, you know, go pound sand, right? But I think he also brings up a good point, and he's not the only one who has said this. In fact, I've heard other people say this, that there's sort of this maybe a trend towards activities that some might consider self-destructive, like smoking, drinking, drugs, things like that, risky behavior. A trend among the early Free State Project movers, specifically the younger ones.
Really?
I've heard people say that. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it.
Okay.
I've heard people say that. One of the people that I heard say it was not someone I have a very high opinion of, but regardless of that, it's an observation, and the hippo is not the only person that has made it.
Okay.
And so maybe there is some legitimacy to it that, you know, these people are not either not thinking about the consequences of their actions or not caring about them. I mean, I get...
Okay, let's... That's the crux.
Yes.
It's the not caring about the principles of their actions should they lead to taking state money to take care of themselves for self-inflicted illness, right?
Right. Or just damaging their body.
So I've been pretty much nitpicking his assumption that everyone is this or that, or most people are this or that, and that's not really the point here. The point is, for the one... However many liberty activists are causing their body damage and who eventually will turn to state money, why do they do this? That's the question, right?
Right.
Okay, so however many there are, why do they do it?
I suspect that probably a lot of them rationalize it, and they may say things like, I'll probably just die, really quickly of a heart attack anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Or the government stole money from me for medical bills from taxes for years anyway, so I deserve this money coming back. Or
something like that. Yeah. Or they just don't even think that they'll ever end up old, you know, because they kind of think they're...
Or maybe they probably, especially amongst young people, maybe it's just common not to think of it. And say, you know, they might know, yeah, I'm smoking and I'll probably have bad health and I'm older, but done thinking about it. They don't think, oh, how am I going to pay for that? Or am I going to take state money? Or will I be broke at the time and have to take state money to stay alive or whatever?
Yeah, and these are all ways that people deal with cognitive dissonance, which is something that the hippo mentioned in his question. He said, is it cognitive dissonance which allows this, or do people just not think about the consequences of their behaviors? And I think it might be a little bit of both.
It could be both.
One of it is rationalizing away their cognitive dissonance. Like, I know this is going to harm me, but I like it, so I'm going to do it anyway.
Is that cognitive dissonance?
Right. Cognitive dissonance is holding two... simultaneous beliefs which contradict each other.
Yes, but that's not what you just described. I know it's going to cause me problems, but I'll do it anyway. That's not contradicting. That's just saying, okay, I'm going to hurt myself.
Oh, well, I explained it wrong.
Oh.
They're rationalizing away the cognitive dissonance by saying, I know this is going to hurt me, but I'm going to do it anyway because I like it. The cognitive dissonance is, on one hand, they believe, I like my body, I like myself, I want to be healthy. On the other hand, they believe, I love smoking and I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Even though I know that it's going
to... Gotcha.
Yeah. And so how do you reconcile those two kind of conflicting beliefs? I'm not sure if... I'm still not sure if I said that exactly right.
Well, that makes sense to me, but it's also making the assumption that these liberty activists who are smoking love themselves and like themselves and want to take care of their bodies. Maybe some of them just don't care and they're...
Yeah.
You know, they're pissed at the world because the government sucks and tyranny is everywhere and they're just, I got to smoke because I got to take out aggression. Maybe they don't like themselves and there's...
And if that were the case, that would be really sad.
I don't know if that's the case. I just brought it up as an example.
Yeah, we don't know if that's the case. But, I mean, you can't make a general statement about everybody, right? But in some cases, I think that there are certain people that I've thought of as perhaps having kind of self-destructive tendencies because they've said things like, well... I don't care. I'm going to die young anyway. Or I just want to have fun now. I don't really care what happens to me later.
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, it's like a low, it's a high time preference, right? They want to have fun now, but they don't really care what happens later. Or they say stuff like, well, everybody's going to suffer when they get old anyway. Or,
well, I know some people who have taken, I know some liberty activists, very principled people who, at least when I say principled, I mean, they understand the principles of liberty and private property and self-responsibility,
they don't believe that... They believe in personal responsibility
right.
And that you shouldn't rely on the government stealing money
or
from
anybody.
People by force.
And you don't deserve something.
And giving it
earn.
To you.
Right. So I know a number of these people who have taken state money for medical reasons, for having a new baby, for going to the hospital for this or that, you know, an emergency room perhaps or something.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. And... I don't know why they do it.
Well, I mean, they probably feel that they're just so desperate in that situation that they are willing to compromise their principles.
I guess so. Maybe
they
have no money and a baby's coming, so they have to get the... You know, they want the baby to live and be healthy.
You know, like...
I mean,
can
done
I just
it.
Play devil's
sure.
advocate here? Not that I would advocate ever taking state money, but... you could try your best. You know, you could save some money for a rainy day as much as you could. Maybe you don't have a great
income,
but you can save as much as you possibly can. And you can take care of yourself. You can eat right and exercise and try to keep yourself healthy. But you can get in a catastrophic car crash or something and...
Need more money.
And yeah, and have something really bad happen to you. And so you can't always plan for the future, although healthy behaviors and... not taking risks does decrease the likelihood of that happening.
Yeah.
You know, but...
But then you're dealing with the old conundrum, you know, live or survive.
Yeah.
I mean, how much risk are you willing to risk in order to actually enjoy life versus be sterile in a locked room all the time?
Yes, that's a really good point. I mean, maybe some of these people feel that, you know, to them, smoking gives them so much joy in life that it's worth the consequences that come from it. And in that case, you know, that's their decision.
Yeah. I just thought of another rationalization because I just remembered it's one that I've used. I've had to go to a Planned Parenthood a number of times. Actually, I went to two different Planned Parenthoods and they were funded Oh, I also went to the ER, and this is like an opposite example. So let me cover all these.
Okay.
So I went to one plan. I needed to go to a Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And so I called around to all the Planned Parenthoods near me and asked them how they were funded. And one of them said, we were funded by half by state and half by private.
Okay.
And I said, well, can I separate that? Can whatever care I, you know, get from you guys be, you know, funded by the private funds?
Wow.
And they said yes, but I don't know how or if they would actually do that.
Hmm.
So I went there. My guess is all their funds go into a big, you know, pile of money, and then they pay for their...
I wouldn't be so sure about that. I think it is actually possible to separate those, because when they get, you know, grants from different entities, be it like a private charity or maybe a government organization, they want to be able to say, okay, well, 25% of this grant helped people who are, you know... We're suffering from this, and you
That'd
know,
be good.
Whatever.
Now, I went to a different Planned Parenthood at a different time, different city, and they said they were mostly funded by government, but I needed to go. I needed something done.
Right.
So I went. Uh-huh. And they did say at the end of my appointment, well, they actually said this, and it was so infuriating. The state of New Hampshire paid for your visit today. I'm all, ugh!
Oh.
And then
brutal.
They, and
oh,
then
that
they,
must have just burned.
It sucked because I knew it was happening, and then they rubbed it in my face anyway.
Yeah.
And then they said, would you like to make a donation? Or, you know, they worded it better, but they were also accepting donations. And I did donate.
Yeah.
But I also knowingly went and took state money to go to my little Planned Parenthood meeting. Now,
is this confession on Pork Therapy
it
here?
It kind of is. Well, it obviously is.
Mike, you know, this is a status world that we live in.
So, but and... I never even got to my rationalization.
Oh, go
maybe,
ahead.
Maybe it's what you were about to say. And my rationalization was there are no other, there are no non-state funded entities, businesses that I could have gone to for this help.
Yes.
The government doesn't allow it to happen. And that was my rationalization. I tried to research and I tried to call some different places and call some charities and this and that. And I said, I need this help. And no one did it who wasn't government funded.
Yeah. I understand. And
but my choice could have been to not go.
Well,
it's not like I was lying, dying.
It could have been to not go, but you would have been suffering probably.
Perhaps.
I mean, I don't know what you went for, and I don't really want to know. But, but you might have suffered if you hadn't gone.
Well, then let's talk about suffering. I had my arm dislocated.
You went to the ER.
And I went to the ER because it would not pop back in its socket.
Yeah.
And I was in the ER for like 4 hours, and they were giving me drugs, and I kept telling them, I have no job, I have no insurance, and they kept... you know, giving me stuff and doing stuff and taking x-rays and stuff. And I was not asking them the cost because I was in incredibly pain and drugged on morphine. And I thought telling them I have no job and no income and no insurance would be good enough.
Yeah.
So it turns out those 4 hours cost like $2,500 when the bill came.
Wow.
And the hospital though had a program where you could apply for, what would you call it? Just, you could apply for them to pay for it. I guess that's kind of a charity
case or something.
And I asked them, how is it funded? And they had two different programs. One that's government funded, one that's private funded.
Yep.
So I only applied to the private funding.
Yeah.
So that...
So you were making a real conscious effort
to
make sure that you didn't...
Right. And just as a tangential anecdote, I went to another hospital like 4 days later for the same reason. It popped out again. And the bill was also about $2,000. And they had the exact same two programs.
Uh-huh.
And I filled out the exact same... In fact, I filled out the paperwork once and photocopied it and sent it to each hospital.
Yep.
One refused me and one accepted me.
Wow.
So
that's almost
arbitrary.
As bad as some of the... You know, two people get charged with disorderly conduct and one of them gets found guilty and the other one doesn't.
It's
they
ridiculous.
Did the exact same thing. They both sat in front of a cop car, you know? It's weird.
So I do make an effort, but I guess my point there is, what if I made the effort and everyone said they were government funded? I probably still would have gone because I was in pain. My arm was out of its socket and I couldn't put it back in. I would have gone. I would have taken state money. So maybe that's what...
And in that case, they've got you by the arm, literally. I mean... No, look, you're in a desperate situation. You did what you could in that situation and in that context of a world in which government has made healthcare very expensive because they put all these regulations on, not just the licensing regulations on doctors and nurses, but they put all these regulations on the hospitals, and they say that they have to accept anyone who walks in or whatever. They've replaced charity with these kind of welfare programs. They've done all these things. They put patents on the drugs and the medical devices that grant the companies a legal monopoly and allow them to charge really high prices for all their treatments. And so it creates this system And not to
they
mention...
They threaten people who want to offer help without being part of their system.
Right.
If someone who was went to school and paid for their own way to go to school and learn how to be a doctor for some expertise and wanted to give away their care, they yeah. couldn't do it without government
without
licensing and permission
license.
And following their rules.
Right. So, yeah, they prohibit competition, which drives up the price, and they also put all these regulations mm-hmm. on the people that are allowed to be in their licensed and regulated market. And so the healthcare system, the whole context of that system is partially socialized anyway. I mean, it's really not a free market in medicine.
No.
I would say it's closer to government-run or socialized than it is to free market by far. I mean, and in fact, we've even seen statistics that say the government pays something like more than half of all the medical costs in the U.S., and it's about to get even more now because of the new, government mandates and things that they put on people to buy insurance, and I don't even know what all of them are. That's how bad it is. I mean, but undoubtedly, they're going to get their claws more and more into the healthcare system. And so the point of that is that you're living in this context, in this system that makes it difficult for you to get low price, high quality medical care. Do you agree with that?
And if you're principled, not just low price and high quality, but not state funded.
Right. And so what do you do with that? I mean, I think what you did in those situations, you had an emergent problem with your arm. You know, you did what you could to make sure that you paid for it as a charity case or whatever. You made a donation to Planned Parenthood, which is awesome. Even though you had to take the government or whatever because they didn't have any private funding, you made a donation. You called around and did research to other Planned Parenthood clinics to make sure that you weren't taking state funds.
No, I agree with you that I did all this. It just feels like an excuse to me.
Well, but what would you prefer, that you pay for your own care out of pocket?
No, I wouldn't prefer... Well, yes, I would prefer that, by the way. But it's not possible,
so
like you said.
Why is it not possible? Because it's so expensive.
No, because government doesn't really allow it.
No, because there's this... Well, it's not illegal to pay out of pocket. It's just very unusual because everybody has this health insurance because...
Well, because it's ridiculously expensive, like you explained, you're right.
Right, and health insurance, the way it is today... Because of all these government regulations that favor huge insurance companies and the HMO Act, which it created HMOs and tied them with people's workplaces and had them as a benefit for work. Because of all that, health insurance is not the same as, for instance, like homeowners insurance or car insurance, where you pay for most things. Like, you know, you pay for gas, you pay for oil changes out of your pocket. And if there's a big emergency with the car, you have a deductible, and then, they'll pay for a huge cost if that situation arises in the rare event that it happens. But health insurance is more like a payment plan. I mean, it pays for everything, including regular checkups, routine visits. You know, if you have something that, you know, people usually get done every year, or if you have a prescription that you take every single month, rain or shine, whatever, it pays for that usually. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a small copay, but it's nowhere near the level of what I conceive of as insurance. It's like a payment plan. It's very expensive and it pays for everything. So how is that different than a payment plan?
Well, it's not, but I guess you're right. I could have coughed up the money and then myself and told them, here's the money. Don't take it out of, you know, state's funds for my visit. And if I couldn't have afforded it, and I don't know if that's the case, but let's say I couldn't have afforded it.
Mm-hmm.
What then? What's the principled stance? Do it anyway because you need to survive and fight liberty another day? Or don't take state money and stay principled and deal with your ailments or whatever affliction
another way? Deal with your arm
being
out of its socket?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't think you should deal with your arm out of its socket.
Does it depend on the problem then?
Not really. I mean, I think you made your best effort to make sure that you could remain as principled as you possibly could. And maybe if you were, you know, an extremely diehard fanatic, you would have tried to put your arm back in your socket itself. But I don't think that makes sense. I think you did what you could to try to remain consistent with your own principles. And, you know, maybe it wasn't exactly as you hoped it would but it was pretty close.
But then this is a very subjective answer, which maybe it has to be. But if HIPAA was saying... What about all these liberty activists who are voluntarily hurting their bodies and may turn to state money later? Is that unprincipled? And you're basically saying maybe the best they can do is to fight liberty now, and they have to smoke to relieve stress and and this is really the best they can do, and they'll end up taking state money later. Maybe. Maybe it is for some of them.
No, I mean, I don't like that. I have to admit, when I read this question, it irked me. Yeah. The thought of these people,
and
you know,
it irks me, too. I know a lot of people, not a lot, I know some liberty activists who take state money for personal reasons, and I tend to think, why are you taking state money? Why not just live a little, you know, harsher? Why not give up cigarettes? Why not, you know, not take state money to do this appointment that you're doing or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't say anything to them because it's not my place. It's...
Yes, that's exactly what I was just thinking. That
sorry.
You... Oh, no, you said it very well, Mike. I mean, you weren't interrupting, but the point is that you can't control other people's behavior. I mean, you can try to persuade them, right? And that's all you can do. I mean, everybody is going to do something with their lives that you consider not ideal, right? Like maybe, you know, maybe someone's 10 pounds over what you think they should weigh. Well, are you going to say something to them about that?
No,
I don't think most people would do that. Maybe someone else smokes
cigarettes. Maybe someone's 100 pounds over or 200 pounds over, and you might say it once in a while. Even if you're a friend, you might say it directly once. Like, you're really heavy, you need to get that checked out or something, but...
Yeah, I mean, I might say something like that to a friend, but I'm not going to say it to a random person.
Right.
And so why should, you know...
Right.
I think maybe it's almost... You know, it might be almost... So the question is it cognitive dissonance which allows this, or do people just not think of the long-term consequences of their behavior? And I say I don't know the answer to that, but what you can do about it, Hippo, is... try to persuade these people, especially if they're your friends and you care about them. You can tell them, hey, I care about you. I don't want you to end up carrying around an oxygen tank when you're old. I don't want you to, I want you to be able to run and enjoy the breeze outside and take in the beautiful air of New Hampshire without having COPD and emphysema. And I want healthy.
And I want you to be happy in your later years and not regretting that you're taking state money.
Yes, exactly. I think that might be persuasive to people who like liberty, don't you think?
Yeah.
If someone said that, especially a friend. I mean, can we talk about tactics to if you have a friend that you care about and you can't, you know, you can't change someone and you have to be willing to accept that. And we can split this into two episodes if we need to, but if you have a friend that you care about and you want them to change something about their behavior because you think it's affecting their health negatively and you care and you want them to be healthy, I think you can try to persuade, and maybe if you're really, really, really set on it and you feel that you have no other option, it's a last resort, you've been working on them for years and they won't change their behavior, I suppose you may use your friendship as a leverage. Well, I can't sit by and watch you destroy your body by drinking, you know, 12 packs of beer every day.
Yeah. I was going to suggest to Hippo to prioritize this value of yours. And it's a value of yours, obviously, because you can't control how other people act. So if it's important to you that your friends or people around you don't smoke or don't take state money and you think that smoking will lead to that, or, you know, drug use or whatever you're thinking, then you should try and persuade them as a friend and convince them how important this is to you and why it should be important to them. And if they don't agree and it's that important to you, then maybe you don't want them as friends. Maybe you don't want them around you.
Maybe.
But I don't think any other tactic is... I don't know. I can't say that. No other tactic.
The only tactic we have is persuasion, right?
We don't
want to force people.
No.
We do not want smoking bans. We don't want mandatory exercise from the government. We don't want prohibition of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
We don't want any of that. We want to persuade people to do what we think are healthy behaviors and will make them have happy lives. And maybe some people's notion of what's healthy or what makes them happy will disagree with ours.
And if
right?
and maybe... Yeah, exactly. Maybe we can't persuade certain people.
But it's up to us to be persuasive enough to convince them.
Right.
And if we can't convince them, we have to accept that. Part of freedom is giving other people the freedom to act, to live their lives how they feel is right, no matter whether you consider that a mistake or not,
right.
as long as they're not hurting anyone else. Right?
Anyone other than themselves.
Anyone other than themselves.
Yeah, they're entitled to hurt themselves, as Hippo admitted in this letter.
Yeah. So, I mean, what... Mike, you don't smoke cigarettes, right?
Right.
Let's take that as an example.
I did in college for like a year, but...
Okay, so why did you quit?
Because it was gross.
Because it was gross.
I didn't enjoy it. I did it to be cool.
Yeah. Okay. So you... Well, you did it because of basically you thought it was cool or something like that?
Yeah, my immediate friends around me.
And then you realized it was gross? Like what
I didn't realize it. It was always gross and I never grew to like it. I also didn't drink beer or alcohol until I was in college and around these same friends. And after that, I drank beer for quite a few years before I decided, yeah, I've had enough of this. Because I liked it for a while.
Okay.
But I didn't like cigarettes for very long.
Hmm.
So if you were going to ask me how do you quit, I'm not a good example. Because I was never addicted to anything.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you necessarily how you quit. I was mostly interested in how you made the decision to quit.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think if I remember, I mean, college for me was, what, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, something? But if I remember correctly, I think I quit cigarettes because it was getting too expensive. And you know, too expensive for the joy I got out of it.
Yeah, and that's a great reason. I mean, like it or not, you know, tobacco products can be really expensive. Even if you do go through these, you know, if you use e-cigarettes or you do, you know, you go your own or go through the black market or gray market or
something. Anything you do regularly is going to be expensive. If you eat peanut butter every, you know, 3 meals a day, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, that's true. But people who are really strapped for cash, smoking is not an essential. I mean, they may view it as relatively essential, but it's an area where it's easy to sort of cut out a huge expense. And if, you know,
it's not easy for people who are addicted to smoking.
No, it's not easy, but it's easier than cutting out food, right?
Yes, but I didn't say food. I said peanut butter. I meant, I was trying to pick one very specific.
Well, peanut butter's cheap, so it was a bad example.
All right. Well, what's caviar?
Mike strikes again. Yeah. Well,
I want to point something out here. It's pretty common in the Liberty Movement when talking about borders, like borders of countries, closed borders, don't let the immigrants in and that kind of thing, to say, I guess it depends on which side you're on, but it's one argument that's common is, well, if there wasn't welfare, if there wasn't free money being offered to these people, they wouldn't be coming here, trying to come here illegally, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, I don't want to get into the immigration debate. That may be a good argument, maybe not. Don't want to get into immigration. My point is to relate that same argument to these liberty activists who are taking state money for their medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
If the state money wasn't offered to them, they wouldn't be taking it.
So you think if there was no Medicare and no Medicaid,
out of it,
people would probably take a lot more responsibility for not smoking and themselves healthy?
If there were no free money, yes, I think so.
Yeah.
There might be, in a free world, there would be charities and such.
Yeah.
And so there would be people who would be willing
to take advantage of charities.
Absolutely. They'd take advantage of it in the polite way as well as the impolite way.
Yeah.
But I think there would be less.
Right.
Because I think without all the free money the government throws around, free money, which is a oxymoron, then there's no self-responsibility. I think you remove that, self-responsibility automatically goes up a huge notch.
Yeah, that may be true. Although, like, there are so many things that happen to people in old age that can be really devastating and require a lot of healthcare that are under no control of theirs. You know, like, they could get cancer, and that's really, you know, they have almost no control over whether that happens.
Well, that's true. But also, what if you get rid of the state? Do the costs of medical care go down?
Yes.
Then that would help people who get cancer.
Yes. So the solution to this question is smash the
state,
right?
Yeah. Strike the root, people.
Oh, I don't know if that's a solution. What I would say is that this person who feels strongly about other people's behaviors and is worried and is concerned about their friends, I see where they're coming from. Totally understand.
Yep.
I understand the concern about other people, especially people who love liberty and wanting them to be healthy and live good lives. I think this person should really hone their techniques for persuasion and tell their friends that they care about them and that they want them to be healthy and happy, and work on delivering the message that, you know, smoking can cause seriously bad consequences.
Or obesity or drug abuse or whatever it is.
Or anything like
whatever
that.
Whatever it is that's important to you that these people are doing and you think will lead to them being unprincipled.
Right.
And non-liberty.
Because as this person said, some people just may not, you know, they may see these ads with the black lungs and everything, and they may see all kinds of, you know, messages that smoking is bad for you and causes lung cancer and is really expensive and all that. But maybe they don't listen. They tune it out for some reason. And maybe if it comes from a friend that cares about them.
Yeah, I tune out ads. in every media, radio.
I tend to do that
TV,
too.
TV, internet. I just, there's always ads over my page, and I totally ignore them. I never even see them.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, you know, maybe they, maybe if someone says to them directly, hey, I'm your friend, and you know, like, I don't really like to hang out with you when you smoke. It smells really bad. I'm worried that you're going to get erectile dysfunction or have heart failure, and you're going to, you know, you're going to have this really expensive level of care, and you won't be able to, like, do anything. You'll just be kind of, like, lying in bed and feel really horrible. I don't want to see that happen to you, and I hope that you're aware of it. I mean, that's much all you can say.
Yeah,
and it's very expensive. I don't want to see you wasting your money on something that...
Wasting your money.
That hurts you.
And I don't want to see you taking other people's money.
Yeah.
So I guess the short answer to this very long episode is...
It's persuasion.
Government caused the problem. I don't know why people do what they do. Each person has different reasons. And persuasion is probably the best solution.
Persuasion is the best
solution.
There you go. Yes. We like persuasion on this show.
Or the best you can get to a solution. It may not solve it, but it probably is the best, that you, the closest you can come to solving it.
Yeah. And if you want us to do a show specifically about persuasive techniques for someone to, I don't know, quit smoking or quit drinking or whatever, you should email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or better yet, you should call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4 and persuade us to do the show.
Yes, and drag your friend who smokes kicking and screaming onto the phone line with you. And they won't be able to talk because they're smoking a cigarette at the time, but but you can talk for them. and if you want to hear all of our past episodes, you can go to our website at porktherapy.com, porctherapy.com.
And from there, you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook and iTunes.
Yes. Friend us on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter. And
rate us on iTunes.
Yes. Rate us on iTunes. Cool. We actually got through that pretty well, despite the fact that we usually screw that up and make jokes and puns, and they're always different, and they're never funny. But anyway, and then there's one last thing.
Yes.
If you're a non-smoker, if you don't like the taste of alcohol, and if you think smoking's gross, and if you went to college 20 years ago and quit smoking at that time, you should email Mike at porktherapy.com.
So that you can ask him if Stephanie wants to go out on a date with you.
Oh, you fooled me, Mike. Well, I'm only auditioning non-smokers.
Oh.
That's not true.
Auditioning.
We're just kidding about that. But if you have a personal email that you want to send to one of us, maybe you don't like me and you want to tell Mike about it to get a new co-host, you can email Mike at porktherapy.com. Or if you want to send us a logo, we're actually soliciting a logo because
we're
really sick of looking at Sally the Pirate's ugly mug. No, not that she has an ugly mug. She's very beautiful in her own way.
In her own way. She's got a great personality.
She does. And actually, there's also a picture of me on that logo, and I really hate that picture.
Oh.
I always have. So we're in desperate... What we're trying to say is that we're in desperate need of a new logo, and if you want to design us and get unlimited free plugs for your work... You should email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
And send us a sketch.
Send
if it's a rough draft, if we like the idea, we'll finish it up.
Yeah. We did have some ideas of what we wanted our logo to look like, but we're going to leave it up to the creativity of our wonderful, beautiful, smart listeners.
That would be you.
Yes, in case you didn't know. No, that would be the guy sitting next to you. Until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, 'cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at